Galesburg District 205 Superintendent John Asplund is with us this morning, the morning after a significant board meeting that included his announcement that the 2026-27 school year will be his last before retirement. So, Dr. Asplund, good morning. Welcome back. Good to see you.
Thank you.
How's it going this morning?
It's going great. Going great.
You feel maybe a little bit less pressure or is now or more pressure?
Neither. If I were retiring tomorrow, I suppose it'd be different, but I still do have 15 months left. So
junioritis has kicked in.
I'm still a junior. That's right. So plenty of time left.
Well, let's start with the board.
Yeah. So last night you read your letter to the board announcing your retirement. It wasn't a surprise to them, but for our listeners who are just now hearing this, even though we've had stories online and on the radio this morning, what did you want people to know?
Really, that I'm appreciative of the fact that, God willing, that I get to, you know, finish out my tenure, assuming my health stays. 10 years is a long time to be privileged to be the superintendent of this really great school district, and I really appreciate the opportunity to do it. And I feel really good about a lot of the things that we were able to accomplish in the time that I've been here. And when we think about it in normal terms, it was I think we did a lot. And then when you think about the fact that we did a lot of it during a pandemic, I think we'll look back on even more fondly. But I feel like you always want to leave the place a little better than you left it,
yeah,
so that your next person can have a really great chance to succeed. And I feel like that's, the district's in a great spot to be able to do that.
I never
have my phone on ring. I don't know why that is.
I think, you left it better, but you certainly left it different, right? I mean, it's been a transformative, 9 years plus.
Yeah, I mean, it has been. And I've told a number of people that have asked me, when I came, that was not even on the radar. Like, that wasn't something that I'm like, oh yeah, we're going to do all these physical structure things to the district. That was not part of the deal. So it's really amazing to me and Jen Hamm, who's been with me through the whole process and the board. We joke about it a lot. Like, we know we're going to look back on this 20 years from now, and just go, what were we thinking? Like, this seems crazy.
Yeah.
At what point did we think it'd be a really great idea to empty the high school and put everybody out in pods and go to Gale and Rose Hoban and, do all the things that we did in the middle of a pandemic and pull it off and really, transform a lot of the buildings into better, we think, learning structures for the kids. And that still feels really good.
You told me ahead of time when you came here in 2017 after being at Farmington that you would put it in your contract that you would stay here. What mm-hmm. what made it so important to you to want to honor that commitment?
Well, being from the area, I had definitely always followed the school district, through my life, and it was well known to a lot of people, and to me as well, that there had been a lot of turnover in the superintendent position at District 205 for, Dr. Abel and then Dr. Cope. And then after that, there just seemed like there were, Gene Denisar was here for a while, but there was like every other year. And the, good, bad, or indifferent, if you have a change at the superintendent position every 2 years, it's hard to build any momentum.
Yeah. There's so much planning in education, right?
And typically my job is very different than everybody else's because by January, I'm thinking about the next year to try to keep the momentum going. And so when you get a new superintendent, now you have different ideas and they may be better ones. The next person I'm sure will have a lot better ideas than I do in areas, but it just, things have to stop and then start again and you have to learn things. And just like any organization, if you have change at the top constantly, you just can't get any sustained momentum and build relationships with the, whether it be the staff, the parents, the board, the community, just anybody. And being able to stay somewhere as long as I have and being from the area and my dad was the personnel manager at Butler for 34 years. I watched that stability for myself and really just wanted to be part of the puzzle piece here to try to help the district have some stability and be able to move forward. So I feel good about that.
You mentioned, you're from the area, but 10 years is a long time for a superintendent anywhere, right?
I mean, that's
a long time. I'm not sure what the average time is, but what kept you here, do you think, besides the family and the local ties?
That's most of it just because, I've worked all over Illinois. And I'm really, one time in grad school, I sat and just was in class and nothing was grabbing my attention. So I was listing all the high schools I'd been in, like physically been in. And it was like 132 or something like that. And so I've been all over the state. When I say, I mean all over the state. And, you know, being from here, I have a particular affinity for here. Like, and I love it here. And I know that we've had our fair share of hard times in West Central Illinois for the past, 50 years. And I really feel a big sense of ownership of this part of the state. And obviously Galesburg being the biggest city in this part of the area and really the driver of things that happen here. Anybody that's, you know, whether they're from, you know, Bushnell or Abingdon or, you know, Oneida or Galva or whatever, they're all going to look at Galesburg because Galesburg is the hub, you know? And so, it's been really important to me to try to just help the community and the greater community move forward, after all the things that have happened here to us, you know, trying to put some positive spin on things and be able to do things proactively rather than just responding to, you know, the negative things that have occurred here in terms of, you know, lost jobs and lost opportunities for people.
Yeah. Well, like you mentioned, you know, we have another year to talk about legacy, but, you know, moving forward, this is going to be the board's decision. You're not going to have a lot of say in it.
Nor should I.
But what would you tell the next superintendent about Galesburg and the district? You know, I'm sure people will call, you know, once they start, you know, the interview process. What will you tell them about Galesburg?
Well, I would say people here are very proud of Galesburg, are very proud of Knox County and want the best for their kids, just like any, you know, anybody anywhere. You know, we, as I said before, we've had a lot of things happen to us here. So, you know, people here might be a little bit more hesitant to just grab onto a new idea because, you know, a lot of change has happened to them. And so change isn't always a positive thing. And here it's not been a positive thing a lot of the time. But you won't find a more generous, hardworking, kind group of people when you really get to know them. And you know, just staying here as long as I have, I've gotten to know so many people and, you know, almost everybody is just, when you deep down, it's just, they're just like anybody else. They care for their kids. They care for their family. They want great things for their neighbors. And they may be a little scarred on the outside because of everything that's happened around here to us. But, deep down people are just really wonderful people here.
Talking to Galesburg District 205 Superintendent John Asplund. Let's move on to the meeting. Last night was kind of a busy meeting.
Yeah.
You know, nothing real controversial, but one of the things was the board approved the new video boards and scoreboards at Van Dyke Field and Thiel Gym. We've covered that in a story, but why is that good for the district?
Well, because
it's necessary, right?
Yeah, one, because you know, the Van Dyke Field, we weren't going to have a scoreboard, or it would have worked sort of, and so being able to add some dimensions to the scoreboard out there that we can improve for soccer, for track, for graduation. For marching band, for other things that we can do in that stadium, that's definitely a value add. And then in the gym, because there's so many, you know, if you come to a game now, and, you know, obviously you guys have been to games, but, you know, with the light show and the video production and all the things, it's really great for the kids for what can be done in the classes that, you know, Russ Ulrich teaches at the high school that really does the video production and gets a lot of those really enhancement pieces in so that when kids are announced and you know, other kids have pieces of putting those videos together and getting as many students involved in the pageantry of the school, I think is always a positive. And so it takes a lot of people to get those things done, and we try to get kids involved as much as possible. So these purchases, while we realize they are expensive, you know, we think that'll really improve a lot of the quality of the offerings we have at Galesburg High School and the experiences that kids can see at night and on the weekends.
Speaking of video and kind of related, the board approved an agreement with Huddle last night. For listeners who aren't familiar, what is Huddle? Who uses it, and why are you locking in this deal?
Yeah, so Huddle, I won't give the perfect summary because it does so many things, but it's basically a video and video sharing system. And so if you are a grandparent who lives in California and you want to watch your grandchild play a basketball game, you can subscribe to this Huddle station, and we have a camera in Thiel Gym, and so you can watch the game from your house, because obviously you're not going to come, you know, 2,000 miles every night to watch your grandchild, but you can watch it from a distance. Back when I was coaching football, you know, 1,000 years ago, we would get VHS tapes and we would take them and drive them to a middle ground and trade tapes with the guys, you know, Friday night or Saturday morning. You don't do that anymore. It's just all file sharing, and you just do it through that. So that's a nice added safety and enhancement feature for our coaches. And that's a big part of it. You can do game film on it. You can break down. It does stats automatically. It just does so many different features that our coaches use every day now and really have come to rely on. And as Nick Young said at the board meeting last night, every AD that we know of in school in, mm-hmm. in this part of the state, if not the state, uses it. And so to not have it would be a detriment to our kids because, you know, we wouldn't be able to share video with other schools the same way.
A couple of items that we covered in advance, the boundary changes and Lombard start times, they passed with little discussion. Is that a sign the community's kind of been well-informed and are happy with these?
I think so. I mean, I, you know, having gotten really little feedback other than, you know, we sent letters out to all the families that would be affected by the boundary changes, and I didn't hear back from people. So you assume that no news is good news on that, so that people are comfortable with the change. And, you know, we feel really good about any of our elementary schools. So, you know, wherever your child goes, if you're changing schools next year, know that they'll be in a good place. But I think so. And Steele had grown by over 30% in the last few years. And I think this change will ease some pressure off of that building. And Silas Willard had enough capacity to take on the extra population. So I think it's a net gain for most people. Obviously, you know, changing schools is hard for kids sometimes, right. But we try to sell it as, and we mean it, like, hey, when you go to Lombard, you're all going to meet each other anyway. So now you can just expand your friend group a little sooner.
And once they get to Lombard, they'll be going to school a little bit later.
Exactly. And they'll be going to school a little bit later next year. So, and that's been something that we've been keeping a close eye on really since we started the schedule where Lombard started as early as it does. You know, we didn't love it, but it's, you know, there are some limitations with transportation. And this was a way for us to be able to continue to offer the transportation that we can, and be able to help out our families and the students a little bit by starting as late as we could, given the limitations that we had.
Jen Hamm made a presentation talking about some capital projects over the next 5 years. You know, I think there was like $5 million in that.
Yeah, it's at least that. Yeah.
Okay. So, can you hit some of the highlights?
Sure. And now we're to the stage. So if people hear, oh my gosh, here they go again. No, these really are mostly like things you're just going to do whether we fixed up the buildings or not. So it's like fixing flooring. If you get a parking lot that has asphalt you're really supposed to reseal it ideally every 2 years. We try to shoot for every 3 years. That keeps the elasticity in the asphalt so that it doesn't break apart and you don't have potholes. So that's really expensive. You know, so doing that, we've also looked at changing the asphalt to concrete so you don't have to do that every few years. But, you know, that's you know, you always kind of bid both of them at the same time to see which one is more cost effective at that moment. With the cost of oil right now, everything's so fluctuating. And for people listening saying, what are you talking about the cost of oil? Asphalt's a petrochemical. So mm-hmm. anything it has to do with asphalt, it has to do with oil. So if it's oil related right now, the cost of oil has been going up. So we have to keep a close eye on that. But, you know, other things, painting gyms, you know, redoing the gym floors for safety.
Locks for the schools.
Yeah.
And they're not just locks. You're not just going and changing locks.
No, right? These are digital locks. And in the end, you know, on a very long scale, one, it's safer. Two, it's easier to see who's in the building. And three, under the old system, like if you lost your key, now you got to rekey the door. Now you got to rekey a lot of doors. Now you just delete a card.
Yeah.
So it does, you know, it does have a lot of safety and money saving features as you go down the road. So these new building projects are just things that would have had to be done regardless of whether we were in brand new spanking buildings or they were, you know, the old buildings that we had 10 years ago. These are just maintenance issues at this point.
Okay. And I think you have to do some work to the pool, even though we won't really see a lot of differences.
Yeah. I mean, the pool has some, you know, it's 30 years old.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're constantly monitoring that to make sure that it's still at least at the safety standards we need for our kids to be able to swim in. So that's really what these expenditures are.
And then
are
Van Dyke
about.
Field has to have new turf in a couple of years.
Yeah, that Van Dyke Field. I'll give all the maintenance crews and coaches and kids and everybody a lot of credit because when the district purchased that in 2014, it had a 10-year lifespan. And now we're at year 12. And, you know, we have it looked at every year. And the turf people are like, nah, you're still pretty good. But know that by about 2 years from now, we're really kind of pushing our luck and need to really move in another direction to try to get some new turf out
there. How will the lifespan of that compare to like Sunberg Field?
Well, Sunberg Field, they have the same disclaimer. They're like, it could be 10, but they go, honestly, you know, you could probably go 20 if, you know, things break right for you. So those things improve every year. So, you know, we're hopeful that the lifespan on Sunberg Field will be a little bit longer.
Okay. Wrapping up with John Aspen, District 205. A couple of items that might fly under the radar. You're appealing some property tax assessments that are, you know, that they're seeking significant reductions.
Yeah.
Kind of talk about what those mean.
So we have two two groups, and we've had other people that go through the board of review here in Knox County that have had their property taxes reduced, and we looked at those sales and we're like, eh, those are what we call arm's length transactions. So one person sold it to another person willingly and they got a fair price for it. We don't contest those typically because that's apparently what the property's worth. But then when we have, you know, multinational corporations that come in, because that's who we're really fighting now, somebody from Germany and then Walmart, that, you know, they've gotten somebody else to come in and independently appraise their property at significantly lower values. And we're intervening at the Property Tax Appeals Board in Springfield to say, we don't agree with their assessment because it's going to, it's one, it goes against what the proof of our appraisal says, because we're getting our own appraisal. You know, that would create undue hardship, not just on the school district, but if we're trying to maintain, you know, all the programs that we have, it would reduce Walmart's property tax bill by like $212,000 a year. Well, that money has to get made up somewhere, or we have to start cutting $212,000. So it's in the community's best interest, we believe, to put up a fight.
So would that impact also, like, I mean, 205, the school district gets the majority of the property tax, but, like, you know, this, it all trickles down, the city gets part. Would that affect them also?
Yeah, so the $212,000 is our part. Mm-hmm. So then we're about half. So, you know, then that's that other $200,000 would go to the city and whomever, you know, the college, you know, junior college and whomever else is in that property.
So if you win this appeal, would that then go for all of it then?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, because we're half the pay, we usually, it's pretty typical for schools to kind of take that up because we get half the money anyway.
Have you had to do this before?
Oh, yeah. I was in a nuclear plant district.
Okay.
That's just regular life there.
What's the chances that you know, of success on this?
It's crapshoot. I mean, when you go down there, it's just you present your evidence, they present their evidence, and you do what you can. But if you do nothing, the odds are really poor that you're going to get your way. So intervening, you know, I would say our odds are 50% better than they would have been had we done nothing.
You know, before we take a break for news, Dr. Asplund, the other day, Nick Young went flying by me on a limousine golf cart. Have you done a burnout on that thing yet?
He hasn't let me drive it yet.
What?
No, he hasn't. I told him over the summer that's got to be mine. I'm going to check the perimeter of the property. But no, we got a great deal on that. It's an electric golf cart, but it's a Surrey. I mean, it's a big, it's a people
mover.
It's
like a limo, right?
Yeah. And so because we couldn't improve the parking lot out at the baseball field and softball field, this is one of the big reasons we wanted to purchase this at about a two-thirds of its value. So we got an excellent deal on it. From a GHS alum who was doing us a solid, and she knew she was, and we really appreciate her for doing it. We want to be able to use that to ferry people who need more, have lack of mobility to go from their parking space to the baseball and softball diamond. So it's somewhat of a community service thing, but we are going to use it for security too.
Right.
Because it's electric and, you know, it's not putting emissions into the air. It's just, you know, driving around.
Right. And you can go anywhere. It's not going to tear anything up.
Correct. And I've been told it goes pretty fast.
Yeah. So,
but I have not driven it. So
I'll leave
the
keys in it and let me know what to look at. So. Dr. Asplund, thanks a bunch for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Okay.